Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay. Edwards on the steal. Edwards, oh, what a move to the rack!
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay
oh
back!
Oh, my God!
30!
No
10!
Touchdown!
Are you kidding me?
Miracle finish!
It's a Minneapolis miracle!
Into deep left center for Mitchell. We'll see you tomorrow.
Why are you doing this?
Oh, the faint but warm memories of a sports lifetime left behind.
In 1865, Horace Greeley said, "Go west, young man."
Decent singing, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
Okay, so good day. Our topic today is music.
That's right.
And that is indeed what our guest today did. He went west. He burned the fucking boats, which is one of the most admirable things in life. Yes, it's where you leave no option. You're like, we're taking this island and we're burning the fucking boats. So for all you people who have been saying, I want the original open, I hate the Utah song, well, you're getting a little bit of both today. Paul Charchian, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm so glad to be here, Zabe. We have so many things to talk about. We have looming Zabe Vegas. We've got Vikings drama. We've got McDonald's drama. I've got all these things that I'm excited to talk to you about. And you and I, by the way, we look pretty good. I mean, look at us on camera right here. These are two good-looking middle-aged men right here.
Not terrible.
Chatting about world events.
Not terrible.
Yeah, we're doing okay.
We have been blessed with the good leads, as they said in Glengarry Glen Ross. We've been blessed with the good material. Oh. Of course, the good material stuff to talk about is all over the place. And all you have to do to be interesting, I say, is to be interested. If you're interested in stuff, you can be interesting at a party, you can be interesting on a podcast, but you have to have a mind that goes, huh, never knew that. Have a curiosity, have a fascination about things. So, and now you and I have built up enough of a library of topics we've been through that we know tickle each other, that we're like, ooh, we see something, we send it to each other. Like, we got to talk about this.
Like a week in advance, by the way.
Oh, absolutely, because I don't want to lose it. That's why I text these things to you. So let me start with one that I sent you, and this is right up your alley. In fact, it might have been sent to me by a listener. If it was, I apologize, I don't have the email in front of me. But the story is from the Smithsonian Magazine headline. This ancient Roman board game was a mystery.
What?
Until researchers used AI to figure out how to play it. Charge! This story is the most charge story ever. It involves board games, which is one of your favorites, and AI technology, AI. Also one of your favorites. How about that?
I love it. So I want to know how old it is. Are we talking chess, Go? I mean, is this a 1,000-year-old game? I want to know. And is it any good? I mean, that's the other thing. Anybody can design a bad game. Is it any good? I'm very, very curious.
What if they someday resurrected a frozen caveman that played the game and they brought him to life, and the first words he said were, "Ugh, was the monopoly of our day. Not a very good game."
No, not like Monopoly.
So here's
that's awesome.
So here's the game. Can you see it on the screen there, Charge?
I can. It's about a 2-inch tall round stone tablet with 6 pebbles of different colors on top of the tablet.
Mm-hmm. So that's the game. And they said that it was a slab of limestone excavated in the modern-day Netherlands and deemed to be from ancient Rome. Since then, the mysterious game has eluded historians in its understanding, but according to a study recently published by the journal Antiquity, I've left my subscription lapsed to Antiquity,
Antiquity.
along with Boy's Life and Noted Outdoorsman.
According about Cat Fancy?
Right. According to the new research, they used AI to figure it out. Here is, as I scroll down, the lines that are scored into this thick slab of limestone, along with some pock marks. So here's what they did to unravel it. Researchers began looking at other old European games, hoping to find something similar to the carved limestone. They searched the Ludi Games database, Charge. Nerd! Did you know there's a games database?
There's Board Game Geek, which is the IMDb
of
board games.
Okay.
And Board Game Geek is normally considered like the ultimate game database. I don't know what Luddy is.
I believe it goes back to board games that are prehistoric, or if not prehistoric, they're centuries old. So in other words, they were not a product to be sold to the masses. They were a game that was, you know, developed and agreed upon, and they would carve out shit and move pieces, whatever. So the largest comprehensible database of traditional board game rules currently available per the study, the team was looking for games that were on a smallish game board on which pieces can take a maximum of 22 different positions. They said that basically by studying the wear patterns in the limestone as to where pieces must have gone, that they sort of sorted out what the rules to the game must have been. It's a long article. I'll make sure to send you a link. But give me your thoughts on this incredible story.
Well, it looks a lot like Go, an ancient game in which you move little pebbles around this board. But I think this is great. And it tells you that, you know, gaming is innate in our nature. It's fundamental to who we are. We want to compete. We want to challenge each other. We want to be mentally engaged in something.
Sure.
And whether it is... It could be sports. It could be video games. It could be any variety of things. Poker. We love to have the social competition with our friends, and it's who we are as human beings.
Yeah. But look at that.
I love it.
Look at that game. I wonder if anyone owns it, if it's owned by a museum. I wonder if there is a trading community, an auction community that seeks to own. No, seriously. Like, wouldn't you want to own, as a board game geek, I would think you might want to own one of the more ancient 100, 200, 300-year-old games.
I think it's extremely compelling. It'd be pretty cool to be able to say you've got the oldest known game in Europe, which it might be, because chess, I believe, is Middle Eastern, North African, right? Go was Japanese or Southeast Asian.
I'd take your word for all of it, because I know nothing about Go or whatever. Chess fascinates me. I do not know how to play. I also don't know how to play Texas Hold'em, and I am now one day closer to actually playing in a tournament sponsored by the local radio station where I'm a celebrity add-in. And I've got to do some research on that, so I'm not a complete tool.
How did you make it to this point and not know how to play Texas Hold'em?
I just chose not to play because I knew I was too far behind everyone else, and I would never be as good. So I'm like, I don't want to pour.
You couldn't be good at it. You didn't want to do it.
Well, I just
now,
like.
Did
I don't...
you grow up playing poker with your buddies? You know, growing up?
No, not really.
No.
Yeah, not really. Which is too bad. Which is too bad because it's a good social thing for men to do. Light gambling, as it were. So anyway, I'm a day absolutely closer to that. I told the organizer, Cakes, who is the morning show co-host of the Junkies on JFK, who's he's the poker ambassador for MGM National Harbor, the big casino resort right there outside the Beltway. Yeah. He's their guy. He's always doing these tournaments. And he's like, come on, Zabe, you should come and do this, you know, and da-da-da-da. And I'm like, all right, cool. So I've never played, and I kind of need to know a basic sense of what hands are worth staying on, because I don't want to just wipe out right away. I don't want to do what I call pulling a Vinko Bogataj. Do you know who Vinko Bogataj is?
No idea.
Vinko Bogataj was the guy who wiped out in the opening to Wide World of Sports in the 70s on the ski jump. On the ski jump.
He's the agony of defeat?
He's the agony of defeat. The guy that just wiped out horribly. Vinko Bogataj. Yes.
I think important to this conversation.
A Slovenian painter who had just taken up. Yes, a Slovenian painter who had taken up, you know, ski jumping late in life, and because of the qualifications were a lot looser, where I guess they're like, all right, Slovenia, you got anyone who wants to do this? Oh, you do have a ski jumper. Okay. Well, send them.
You've got a guy who's willing, apparently, because he's a middle-aged painter who's like, all right, I guess I'm willing to try that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was so crude. Ski jumping was so crude back then, Steve. That Vinko, what's his name again?
Bogataj.
Vinko Bogataj. Things were so crude back then that Vinko Bogataj wasn't even injecting his dick with anything.
Right, exactly. Very crude sport at the time. Didn't try to get the added advantages. But yeah, he's currently still alive, by the way, living in Yugoslavia. And he would go on. He lived,
Through it.
I know, exactly.
That's half of the bat. Now, okay, we got to talk about your browser, my man, because what you just showed me was atrocious. It was little tiny blocks of text surrounded by an ad at the top, an ad at the bottom below the text, an ad to the right of the text. Are you using Microsoft Edge? I mean, what browser are you even using that allows you to see all that?
Well, I don't serve up what they serve up. Oh, I see what you're saying. I should have pop-up blockers.
You should have the Brave. You and everybody listening should be on the Brave browser. And I don't think we've ever talked about this.
You're saying this is what I should. This is the crap I should not be seeing. That pop-up down in the corner.
You will not see any of that crap. Right. Look at right there.
There's one woman on the bottom who's got
five ads.
The ad on the bottom looks like filthy porn. It's a woman, young woman with her mouth open, lying on her back, and it's for sleep apnea. Okay?
I love that you get fed sleep apnea ads, by the way.
I already have the apnea. I've got the CPAP, so they don't need to send me this stuff.
Well, they've figured out, and also you need blood sugar out. So let me tell you what Brave does. Number one, it blocks all those ads.
Okay.
Number two, the Brave browser.
Yeah.
Blocks all those ads.
Who makes Brave?
Brave makes Brave.
What else do they make? Are they a spinoff of Google? Are they open source?
It is what's called a Chromium browser. So they took the Chrome browser, and they stripped out all the spyware.
Oh.
They do no tracking. They store nothing. Your pages will load much, much faster because you're not pulling in all the trackers and all the ads. It will save you hundreds of hours over the course of a couple of months of just page load time and thousands and thousands of trackers a day that will not hit your computer. But here's maybe the single best reason for your listeners to install Brave. No ads on YouTube.
Whoa. I pay for that.
I know. I don't get any ads.
Get out.
I give ad-free YouTube because I just use the Brave browser.
I will try it.
Works. Absolutely.
Okay. There it is.
I've been using Brave for 10 years. This is the way to go. It works on your phone, Works on everything.
Says get brave, which is a great tagline. Mm-hmm. Get brave. There's my download. Almost there. Yep. Run the installer. I'm not doing this right now, but okay. Private search, built-in AI assistant, powerful VPN. Mm-hmm. I pay for a VPN as well.
Right. It's got web. It's got browser-based VPN. It's not device-based. It's browser-based. But still, when you can have a firewall and VPN, and at no cost, by the way. This costs nothing. Well, it's free.
I paid for 1 year of my VPN at your recommendation. You know that.
Yes. You should anyway.
I know. So do I need the paid VPN and use the Brave browser-based VPN?
Well, you don't have to use the Brave browser-based VPN because you've got a VPN that's working in your house. So you don't need that. But everything else Brave does makes it absolutely worth it.
Feels like I'm wearing a condom. My girlfriend's got a IUD in as well. Like we're really going overboard here. She's got the sponge, the IUD, and she's on the pill. I mean, how much protection do I need?
Well, all that together. Well, you're hypervirile, so we know that you probably need
hypervirile. Okay. All right. Next up, you. I've pitched my first pitch. You give your best story available. Go.
McDonald's. The McDonald's CEO is the talk of social media right now, and it's fantastic. I assume you have seen the McDonald's CEO trying to extol the virtues of the McArch.
Yes. Nerdy McNerderson. Just the most... Like, if you saw this guy at a party, you'd be like, oh, God, steer away from this tool because there's going to be no fun conversation coming from this guy. Have you seen Burger King clap back at McDonald's?
Yes, which is fantastic. Now, I don't know if you intend to play the sound clip of the McDonald's CEO eating, biting into, taking the daintiest little nibble, this little twiggy guy who looks like he looks like an actuary, and he takes this little nibble.
I did it.
Of the McArch, and then declares it a great product.
Product, exactly. Yeah, no, he's getting roasted to the moon for it. Product. Yeah, I'm not going to play it here. I did play it with Andy Poland yesterday on the podcast, so I hope you don't knock me for that. But I do have this, the Burger King clapback, which, okay, the Burger King CEO looks a bit more normal, a bit more robust as just a dude's dude, right? Okay, here he is right here.
Oh, very, very much so.
Great hair on this Burger King CEO.
Yeah.
And he takes a monster bite out of it He's got schmutz on his lip.
Bite.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to have.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. Now, what I would say is, okay, now for your next trick, can you get non-felons to work your restaurants and maybe not have Burger King be the seediest, dirtiest restaurants of all the fast food chains?
Here's the thing. They don't have to be. There was a Burger King by KFAN in Minneapolis that was meticulously run, and it was clean. The food tasted on a whole different level.
An elite Burger King. I've never been in a Burger King where I'm like, this Burger King's elite. Look at this. Look how shiny it is. Look how nice it is. Look how friendly the employees are.
Same.
Never had
same it. And it had all that stuff. All that stuff. I was astounded by this Burger King. Now the McDonald's CEO, his first job was after he'd already gotten his MBA as in brand management. And he looks like it. The Burger King CEO's first job, Domino's delivery driver. He's been immersed in this from the ground up, right? I mean, this guy's made a career in food. You can tell the difference. It's estrogen versus testosterone.
Yeah.
McDonald's versus Burger King.
That said, would you eat the Big Arch? Does it appeal to you, this particular massive double-decker beef hamburger sandwich?
I don't. Here's the thing. The whole value proposition of the McArch is arch sauce.
Oh, really?
They never tell us what is arch sauce. Oh. What the hell is arch sauce?
Secret. Right? I can't tell you.
Well, that's the secret
sauce. If they told
you. The secret sauce is already on the Big Mac, and it's a secret. You can't have two secret sauces.
Yes, you can.
They already got a secret sauce. Yeah, they said, tell us what's in the McArch sauce.
They said, we will meet your secret sauce with our own, even double secret sauce. I guarantee you it's some combination of ketchup, mayonnaise, chipotle seasoning, and a little bit of, I don't know, cayenne pepper, something like that. It's a goo, basically.
It's a goo. Things that I did not know until I moved to Utah. Every time you order fries anywhere, it comes with fry sauce.
In Utah.
Everything automatically comes with fry sauce. It's a thing here that they do. You order fries, you get fry sauce. It is what you just described. It's some combination of mayo, ketchup, and seasoning, and it comes with everything. So you probably did not know that. So there's a little Utah data point.
Okay.
But I want to tell you my personal story with McDonald's CEO guy.
All right. Before you do that, let me slip this in real quick. Put a pin in that. I want to hear this story about McDonald's CEO guy. Speaking of sauces, have you seen the Taco Bell ad for their new dipping sauce that is not a sauce? It's ice cream. Ice cream.
What?
Yes.
What? I'm not dipping my taco in ice cream. What are we talking about here?
Yes. They have an ad out in which apparently, this is not Taco Bell. This is, I think, DQ. DQ ice cream.
Now that's making more sense.
No, it was like to dip your so-and-called, I think to dip your chicken tenders in ice cream. I had to do a double take on this. I'll look it up while you're telling me the story about the CEO of McDonald's.
Go. My wife dips fries in ice cream.
Really?
So this is not that far from that, right?
Yeah, Dairy Queen, here it is, Dairy Queen flamethrower chicken with ice cream dipper. It's just as if America's not getting fat enough, fast enough for big food and junk food incorporated that they're like, pedal to the metal. There you go, Church. There it is right there. Look at this thing.
Pedal to the metal. Look at that. Wow.
Hey, Fatso. You want some fried chicken with something else to put in it? Okay, there you go. And here's your typical American. This guy's got a YouTube channel, Alabama Eats. Yeah, I bet it does. You know what Alabama doesn't do?
That guy does. That guy does eat.
You know what Alabama doesn't do? Read or get on a treadmill. But okay. Sorry. I'm the bad guy.
Savage.
Yeah. Look at this guy. He's checking out the whole thing.
It's a good thing for me. I'm going to try the ice cream dip, and this is just one of the strangest things I've ever heard of, but we're going to try it. So, ice cream.
Is it the regular vanilla ice cream,
chicken
though?
Tender here at Dairy Queen.
Different? Just do it.
I'm building up to it.
Just do it. I like fries and ice cream. It's always good.
Well, honestly.
What?
I'm going to see the ice cream. Oh, see, that one has some heat.
Jesus Christ. What are we doing, people? What are we doing? All right, Charge, the McDonald's CEO.
While we're just briefly on this guy, because I think this is going to bug you too. If you're going to wear the lavalier, don't wear a t-shirt because you have nothing to pin the lavalier to. And pinning the lavalier to just like the middle of your shirt is weird.
Charge, don't do that. You have hit upon one of a handful of things in this world that I'm convinced only triggers me to the verge of rage and nobody else. One of the things that absolutely triggers me to the moon is basketball players, like NBA players, that have shoes that don't match the colorway of their team uniforms. So in other words, a team that is red and yellow, like the Hawks, will have a guy with lime green sneakers. And it's because the NBA Players Union negotiated that you're allowed to wear your own brand of shoes. And that includes your own colorways to the shoes, whatever you want. And it triggers the fuck out of me. I want uniform colorways on the shoes for every player on the NBA court. I'd ideally like them all wearing the same brand, but I know that's a bit too far. But they should all be either, you know, blue and white or black and red, whatever the case is. Right. Triggers the fuck out of me. The other thing is content creators that just lazily put a giant road Micro Go square receiver.
Yes.
Right on their shirt, conspicuously. Or even worse, when they put it on their hat and they go, yeah, that's good enough. Hey, listen up, bitches. They make thin wired lavalier mics that will discreetly clip to right around here on your shirt. Take 2 extra seconds, make it look good. You suck. Okay. Rant over.
Obviously I concur with both, and the shoe thing drives me nuts because it's, I appreciate the fact that you have your own shoe line that is modeled for your specific foot and just how you want it to be. It should be your, you should have your team colors on it. The color doesn't change anything. You're not going to dunk any worse because it's not, the color scheme's not right. It's, why not match the team that's paying you millions of dollars on your shoe? I think that's a reasonable request.
I think the why not is just that they've negotiated this. And I guess it's important to selling shoes to be able to say, well, you can tell these are Steph Curry nines because of the way they look, you know, the certain color. I don't know. Okay, to the McDonald's CEO.
Here's my McDonald's CEO story. Here we go. So this is a prior CEO, the guy who was the McDonald's CEO from 1991 to 1997. He ushered in, most famously, the Chicken McNugget successfully. And after his time at McDonald's, he went to Famous Dave's. Are you familiar with the Famous Dave's barbecue chain?
Oh, I'm very familiar. I used to eat that way too much. Yeah, it's good.
Pretty good.
But, it's chain barbecue. So true barbecue aficionados like yourself, you probably miss Big Boar badly up there in Minnesota.
I do miss Big Boar. Yes, very much. Yes.
I would say that anyone who's a barbecue aficionado would kind of scoff at chain barbecue. But look,
for sure,
it's barbecue. So yeah, I went to Famous Dave's quite a bit.
Okay, so this is probably 2017, 18, something like that. And he's now the CEO of Famous Dave's. And the Chicago radio station that I've been doing hits on for 20 years sold a August fantasy football training camp event at Famous Dave's in Oak Park, which is where this guy lives. So I'm going out in August, and they're turning a whole Famous Dave's. They've got the PA system, all the TVs and everything around me. I'm going through picks and players and stuff like that. And he's there, the CEO of Famous Dave's, former CEO of McDonald's. Ed is there. And we're chatting, and Ed's a good dude. He loves sports, loves NASCAR. We're talking football on the side, and he's drinking. He's pounding drinks. And I get about halfway through, my bit, and I look at him over, and he's sitting at the bar. He has a bottle of wine in his right hand, and in his left hand is a different bottle of wine. And he is drinking from each of the bottles of wine.
What?
Back and forth, two-fisted bottles of wine.
He's drinking wine out of the bottle, or is he pouring it into a glass?
Out of the bottle.
Oh, my God. Out of the bottle. What a savage. Were those wine bottles in bags like he was some hobo on the street? I mean, that's crazy.
No, he's bottles of wine. Now, he was there with a very young woman. I have no idea if it was Mrs. Ed or if it was not Mrs. Ed. None of my business. But by the time the thing's over, he's turned into I love you, man.
Oh.
And he loves me. Ed loves me. And at the end, he's trying to convince me to take over the Minnetonka, Minnesota location of Famous Dave's. He's charged.
You got to run this one for me.
I want you to turn Famous Dave's into Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm going to give you the Minneapolis store. You do all this. You turn it into a sports destination just like Buffalo Wild Wings. You can go run the store. Like, Ed, I don't know anything about running a Famous Dave's. Said, I'll get you an ASM who's going to be great. I'll get you the best ASM in the Twin Cities.
What's ASM?
And you go... assistant store manager.
Okay.
You go run this thing. We'll do whatever you say. Budget is no limit. You just turn it into Buffalo Wild Wings for Famous Dave's. Huh. I decided to stay on my current career path instead.
Do Do you regret it?
Abe, that's no, because I think in the sober light of reality, he would have probably rescinded that offer. And it turned out everything worked out okay for me with fantasy sports. So.
My dad used to say how early on he wanted to run a taco chain that had come to the East Coast. It was not Taco Bell. It was something else. And that he was serious about doing it almost. And my mom used to always scoff whenever this came up at the dinner table over discussion. You know, dad would be like, oh yeah, I was gonna be a franchisee. I wanted to get one of those Taco Presto outfits over there in Arlington. Mm. I'm like, yeah. I can't imagine my dad slinging tacos for a living.
Well, you know, doesn't everybody have that other weird career that's nothing like the career you have that you were always interested in?
Not everybody, but some people do. And when they change up and they do something completely different, I totally respect it. I like it. It's cool. I think we should all have a great second act in us that is completely different than the first act. By the way, Arby's bought Buffalo Wild Wings back in 2018 for $2.9 billion. And somebody tweeted, and I just saw this today, they're like, the fuck did Arby get $2.9 billion?
Right. Who's buying who in this deal?
I just love the way it was phrased like street lingo. The fuck did Arby's get $2.9 million? Where'd that come from? Fucking Arby's.
Arby's fucking sucks.
Whoa. I'll give you a second to retract that.
I've been to the Arby's. I've been to Arby's one time since I moved here. Went through the drive-thru.
It's Utah Arby's.
$18 got me.
Okay. You're price complaining.
One roast beef sandwich.
I know. You're okay.
A regular size roast beef sandwich, a small size roast beef sandwich, curly fries, and a drink. $18.
I know.
And I'm like, this is ridiculous.
The best thing about
tiny and
okay. The best thing about Arby's is the put down when somebody's talking crazy. Sir, this is an Arby's. Or, sir, this is a Wendy's, which is another good way to put it. Somebody also said today that you can pretty much track when our society began its inexorable decline in America when the last of the Wendy's solariums went away.
Oh,
you remember the iconic
restaurant
style of Wendy's, which had a little solarium seating area where you could sit under a nice little slanted glass roof, and it was like, all right, it's fast food, but I feel like I'm sitting somewhere nice-ish. Well, they're gone.
Yes, I remember that. That was, and you know what? That's a pretty cool signature thing to have in your restaurants. Here we are talking about it 20 and 30 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody does it anymore, and at some point somebody came into Arby's or Wendy's and went, you know what?
Yeah,
that's that's
not adding to the bottom line.
We're not doing that anymore.
You know, we spend $1,463 per franchisee every quarter cleaning those glass solariums. They're very difficult. Right. We have to hire a company to do so. I don't see how it's giving us any ROI. What's the return on the bottom line of those solariums? Let's just get rid of those. Smaller box, smaller footprint, focus on drive-thru, get rid of the solarium. That's how societies start going down the shitter. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. I got three NFL things that popped today, and then you're going to tell me if you're psyched for the soon-to-be Kyler Murray era in purple. But three stories today of eyebrow-raising nature in the NFL as teams now start to get set of, we're keeping him, we're letting him go, we're going to tender him, we're going to franchise him, et cetera, et cetera. Story number one, Trey Hendrickson says goodbye to Bengals as team declines to use the tag on him. This is going to be one of the greatest bunglings of a guy you've ever seen as a player, because check me if I'm wrong, teams were willing to give up a naked first for Hendrickson last summer. And the Bengals got all high and mighty and said it'll take two first rounders plus plus. And teams like, man, you crazy. So they never moved him. They kept him. They had a bad season. Burrow got hurt. Now they're letting him walk. You dumb fucks.
No compensation for him at all. Nothing. It's almost like letting Sam Darnold out of your building. And then he goes and, you
know, right.
and get nothing in return, and he wins a Super Bowl.
Right.
Yes, that's the Bengals will probably rue the day. It was a fractured relationship. There was a lot of distrust and dislike. And the Bengals front office freaking blows. I mean, nobody ever. It's always like the whole operation's always listed near the bottom in the in the player's report card, sitting in the D territory for most of the things that they do. Trey Hendrickson probably finds himself in a far better spot when this thing is all said and done. And will probably be sitting on, another dozen sacks, and he'll end up making a difference for some better organization.
2 years ago, he came off a year in which he had 17 and a half sacks. He was an all pro, not a Pro Bowl, because that shit don't matter no more. All pro, 17 and a half sacks. Wanted more money. Team was like, no, we're the Bengals. Haven't you read about us? More money is not what we do. So he said, well, I want a trade. And they go, okay, go ahead and see if you can get a trade. And am I wrong in remembering what the Bengals wanted? I kind of thought that a naked one would have gotten it done from somebody if it was expected to be a later naked one. And the Bengals wanted more. I'm pretty sure.
That's right. I don't. That's how I remember it too. I saw reports today that the team had said no to second rounders last year. I think their asking price either was a one or was a one plus.
Okay.
Now, and obviously, they screwed up. They screwed up. If you should be able to look ahead 1 year in your crystal ball. It's not that far.
Yeah.
Right. You're making these decisions. You should know a lot of what your team looks like 1 year in advance. And what kind of decision making you should be having if you know you're not going to sign him, trade him.
I bet
get something for him.
I bet they could have gotten two twos. Easily could have gotten two twos, especially if one of the twos was kicked into the future. Let's say a two last year and a two years from now. Fucking take it probably. And move on. By the way, he was hurt this year, played seven games, placed on injured reserve, and that's that. So that's story number one. Story number two, the Colts have put the transition tag on quarterback Daniel Jones. Now, what's interesting about this is no team has used the transition tag on a quarterback in like 15 years.
Yeah. This is the bit where another team can come in, match the deal, and then the originating team can up it. Do I remember that? It's been so long.
I can look up the rules on it.
You get the average of the top 10 players in your position, and then the player can negotiate with other teams and give you a better deal. Then you can go back to the original team, and they have 5 days to match it, how I remember this.
No quarterback has been hit with this tag since ESPN Research began tracking such moves in 2000. So never been used on a QB. Wow. Only 20 players total have been given the transition tag. Most often players reach a deal with their team after being tagged. So it's sort of like a timeshare pitch where they lock you in the room. They're like, okay, I don't think you're going to sign on the bottom line, but we got to keep you here a little longer. We got to see, hold up, don't leave just yet. But they already are looking, I think they franchise tagged Alec Pierce, their wide receiver, who every nerd in America on sports radio is like, we should go get Alec Pierce. He's really underrated. Probably get him cheap. Well, everyone knew that he was going to be gettable and was probably not going to be cheap, was going to be over expensive by the time he hit the market. And the Colts even said, we're not even going to let him hit the market. So there you go. Cowboys electing to use the franchise tag on
Jones,
George Pickens.
One last thing on Jones. Coming off an Achilles injury, he was 8-4 as a starter. I mean, this was, remember the first half of the season, the Colts were the talk of the NFL, mm-hmm. and his play was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But the Achilles injury, it hurts. Look at Kirk Cousins. I mean, it really does make a difference for a quarterback more meaningfully than I originally thought it did. And you got to bake that into whether or not, you're the Colts or some other team, like, let's just say the Vikings, looking for a quarterback, and Daniel Jones, remember, was on the Vikings that, you know, just 13 months ago. This is, it's not obvious whether or not he's going to be able to be your starting quarterback at the beginning of the year. And that's got to be a huge factor here.
And then there's this Dateline Chicago veteran center, Drew Dahlman, who started all games for the Bears last year, is only 27 years old, had just been given a new contract, 3 years, $42 million, retired. Just said, what? You know what?
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Drew Dahlman out after 5 years.
Wow.
The Bears had just invested a good amount of money in him, and he had a really good season. He was a key player on an offensive line that ranked number one in pass block win rate and fifth in run block win rate.
Wow. That's a sizable loss. Do we know? Did he say why?
I have not heard a reason why. But there's an old saying that a former NFL player told Andy Pollin and I on our radio show once. It was Irving Fryer, the former Patriot, who was a Redskin for 1 year. He said to us, he said, you know what? Once you start thinking about retirement, you're retired.
You're retired
in the NFL. That's how it works. Other guys have retired right before reporting to training camp because they were just like, I can't go through this again. Joe Panos.
Yeah, that's what. That's when training camp was hard. Not now. Training camp is a freaking breeze now. It's half as many practices. It's like 3 days of hitting. Nobody's backing out of training camp now. I don't think you shouldn't be.
20 years ago, Joe Panos, who was an O-lineman for Wisconsin, he's now an agent for one of the top agencies in the NFL, Athletes First. He always said when he was on the radio with us on Bob and Brian, he's like, yeah, I just retired right before going to camp because as soon as I started packing my stuff up and thinking about what camp is like and how my body was feeling at the time, I'm like, fuck it, I cannot do this. So he's like, I'm out. But I guess Dahlman has at least said he's out, early so the Bears can address it in free agency and in the draft. So good for him. And you know what? I have no qualms about a guy retiring after just 5 years. If you've made enough money for your life, if you don't want to keep bashing your head against guys, whatever it is, if football ain't for you, retire.
Two things. One, should Chicago get a prorated amount of the signing bonus back?
I think they will, and I'm sure there's some language in there about, hey, bro, what happens if you retire? I would hope that's somewhere in the contract.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the Kyler Murray future in Minnesota. The Cardinals are ready to say we're out and they're not going to keep him. So what do you think?
Yeah. Well, first, that has now happened. And Kyler Murray has bid his farewell to Cardinal fans on social media. So it's a 100% done deal as we knew it would be. Now, if the most charitable case for Kyler Murray is, you're playing with a shitty team for a long time, a bad organization surrounded with a bad offensive line. Mostly you haven't had good targets to throw to throughout your career, although you had Larry Fitzgerald for a little while, I believe. And there's some excuses you can bake in for not having enough wins and enough success for Kyler Murray. The other side of it is, man, what went down last year is a bad look for Kyler Murray. You'll remember at midseason, the play was super weird. On a play in which the ball, he's in shotgun, the ball gets hiked into his feet roughly, and then he gets a foot injury somehow, we don't know how, and he never plays again the rest of the year.
I know.
And they put him on IR twice or whatever. And then the really damning part is Jacoby Brissett walks in and he's just lighting up box scores.
Yes.
You know, the defense was terrible, so you're still losing games, but they're losing games 28-35, and they're back and forth. Brissett had moments where that offense looked so much better with a just journeyman than it ever did with Kyler Murray. I don't know, man. I don't want him in purple. I just don't think he's got it. Babe, that's
Rank
that will to win.
Rank the four unthinkable the five unthinkable options, as the Simpsons once said, about the Vikings and their quarterback situation. Rank them: Kirk's return, Kyler Murray, Tua Tagovailoa, Geno Smith, or Stay the Course with J.J. McCarthy. There you go. Those are the five unthinkable options.
I need to go to six because I would take Aaron Rodgers before all of those.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right. Hold on. I found the soundbite for you.
So here is our chance to kick some ass for Mother Earth.
I'm listening.
Well, I've narrowed your choices down to five unthinkable options. Each will cause untold misery.
I pick number three.
You don't even want to read them first.
I was elected to lead, not to read. Number three.
Number three. Five unthinkable options. I was elected to lead, not to read. Okay, there's your unthinkable options.
Wherever you got that clip, did it happen to show which season of The Simpsons that came out?
Oh.
Because it was funny, and it had to be the first, like, 5 years.
Well, I tell you, Church, Simpsons aficionados will quickly say, ooh, 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 it wasn't a season, it was the Simpsons movie.
Oh, that was from the movie.
It was from the movie. Yes, it was.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Somebody, I might be wrong about that. I'm pretty sure there's a movie. Okay, so give me your six unthinkable options.
Well, all right, then. I mean, if I can't have Daniel Jones, because he's now got the transition tag, which does not rule out the Vikings.
You know, it may not work out. And he's hurt, by the way.
It may not work out.
Well, he's coming off an Achilles.
If I can't have Daniel Jones, they're not going to spend on Malik Willis. This team is still in desperate cap trouble. So there's that. My next choice up, I don't like any of those options. It might be Kirk, not because of my past affinity with Kirk, but only because you're not fooling yourself in at all thinking that he's your answer for the future. And you still have to come up with your answer for the future, because I don't think it's J.J. McCarthy. And apparently the team doesn't either, because they're already planning for the new starter. So if that's the case, at least they're not deluding themselves into thinking, oh, Kyler Murray still got 10 good years left. We could go with Kyler Murray. Geno Smith, your case for Geno Smith is he was serviceable in Seattle. And he was put up decent yardage numbers.
2 years ago and another city ago.
Another city ago, right. And then the Raiders wreck everything, right? I mean, you could, if you want to make your case for Geno Smith, that's
right.
It. You go like, okay, the Raiders destroy everything they touch, so you know, he went down with the ship on that. There are some metrics that suggest that Geno was okay last year.
Right.
I don't know, man. Those are all bad. But this is the thing that gets me, Zabe.
Yeah.
You get locked into this mindset that's like, oh, well, Kirk Cousins not good enough. He's not good. We gotta move on from Kirk. You pay him too much. You gotta move on. Oh, Sam Darnold, he's not young enough. We gotta move on from Sam. You gotta get your guy on your rookie deal. You got to build your own rookie deal. You know, you got to get this guy in a rookie deal. Then you get J.J. McCarthy, right? Or you end up with Zach Wilson or Trey Lance or, you know, Carson Wentz or whatever, Sam Howell. It's just Mitch Trubisky. So many times you're trying to find that franchise quarterback in the draft, and it's really, really hard to get it right.
Yeah, these are unthinkable options.
Thinkable options. Each will cause untold misery.
Yes.
I pick number three.
Kyler Murray it is. Number three. Good luck. Did you ever see the Gruden Football Academy short video with Geno Smith? Remember we used to do these for ESPN? He'd get a prospect in. My friend Geno.
This is my friend Geno Smith.
I just love saying that.
What kind of quarterback is this Geno Smith?
He probably like, What are you talking about? I'm right here. Why don't you say what kind of quarterback are you?
I mean, are you a read option guy? Are you a guy that can do it all? How do we use this athletic ability the best?
I don't consider myself any type of quarterback. I consider myself a quarterback who's, you know, got the ability to win games above the neck. My athletic abilities, that just comes with the package. I can run the ball, can run and, you know, scramble and pick up first downs. And, you know, I extend plays more than I just go out there and just run around like a chicken with my head cut off.
See, I love this, man. I love what you're bringing to the table, your athletic ability in the pocket. You can use your ability to extend plays and create to your advantage in the pocket. I don't see as Cam Newton a power wildcat quarterback, do you?
No.
But see, these were really, I think, instructive, valuable, interesting pieces of media that I don't think ESPN would even do anymore. I don't think the agents would let their clients do them because all they could do is hurt. I remember when Cam Newton had a hard time explaining why he couldn't call plays at Auburn and that they would just have a simple signal, like a green square. And that meant, you know, power read bright or something like that. I just, and you know, they didn't replace it. They don't have Orlovsky doing these same things, right?
No. Well, I don't think so. No, not that I know of at all.
No, these were good. These were like soon to be pro quarterbacks about to be drafted, sitting down with John Gruden to let him shape the narrative on them in whatever way was the most entertaining or the way that Gruden thought was correct. And if I'm a agent, I'm like, the fuck we're doing this? How's this going to help me out?
No. Well, isn't there a tacit understanding that ESPN's only going to show the stuff that makes you look good, right? When they did these? It feels like
you're gonna
most
trust,
of it is all about just making the player look good.
Are you going to trust potentially tens of millions of dollars on a tacit understanding? And sometimes the editors might go, oh, that didn't make you look bad, but they don't have the pulse on how it's going to be, you know, reacted to by the public. I'm just saying.
No, that's true.
I'm just saying. All right. Shane Lowry shit the bed Sunday. Charch and I have been in this golf pool all year. It's Charch put up the money. He said, I just want you as my consigliere. I don't know anything about golf. Charch has done all the legwork every week because he's scouted the, you know, pick sites to say, here's who's good at this course and here's who could be used, blah, blah, blah. He then just runs a couple names by me and I kind of go, yeah, maybe or no. And I've had a few good calls on no, like when I said, don't take Ludwig Oberg in San Diego because he withdrew the week before with the sniffles.
Yep.
And of course he sucked and missed the cut. Win for me. Then you said, what about Sam Burns at Pebble Beach? And I go, you know what? I think it's time. Activate Sam Burns, missed the cut. Actually, it was Phoenix, I believe. He missed the cut, right? So I've been kind of hit or miss. Charch went to me this week and said, hey, is Shane Lowry still a thing on the regular tour? I go, yeah, no, he's good. He won the Ryder Cup for Europe last fall, so sure. And I said, you know, it's a kind of a weak field down there at the COG.
Yeah, very.
I said, go ahead, you know, fly him in there. And you're like, okay, cool. I didn't really check to see if you had entered him. But then Sunday, you send a text to me with the leaderboard with Shane up by three with two holes to play and googly eyes. Googly eyes. And I go, oh, wow. I go, tell me we started him. And you're like, yep, we did. But then you added, the problem is a quarter of the field also took him, but still we'll take the win. And then he goddamn fell apart. You jinx O'Rama, Charch. What are you doing?
Dave, he's up by three.
I know.
Getting into 16. And not only did he give up the three strokes, not only did he not force a playoff, not only did Shane Lowry not lose by one, he lost by two strokes.
I know.
Up by three with three to go. It's absolutely epic collapse. And they're showing the shot charts, the tee shots.
Yeah.
They're showing the tee shots for the entire all 4 days. And everybody's, you know, even the people that had drifted a little bit were not that far off. And then there's Shane Lowry. He's like off screen to the very edge of the screen. Here's where his shot went.
Right.
It's just, oh, epic.
Lost epic to a Nico Echeverria, whatever a Nico Echeverria is. Was also battling with an Austin Smotherman. Was also, like, I looked at some of the names that were in the field this week, and I'm like, holy shit, I've never heard of these guys. That's how weak the field was because of the way the tour schedule is. So anyway, you sent me a guy's tweet. He keeps a list of things that he has banned in anger from his sports life. This is a guy who goes by Beating the Bookie at beatingthebookie.com. Do you know this guy, by the way?
Nope, I don't. He just showed up on my feed.
But you sent it to me because it was funny. He said, ban list update 3/1/2026 adds Shane Lowry lifetime ban. No way to get off list cemented. then he had listed in what looks like a typewriter font, which makes it even funnier, his full list. You ready? This is great. I think we should all keep lists of these guys are on my list. There was a wrestler, I believe, that used to say, you're on the list. Okay, here we go. List. Any and all Canadian golfers, Hard Rock Bet, Daniel Berger, Josh Jacobs, Oregon in the football playoffs, 50-50 raffles. What? I love 50-50s. Golf carts driven on the highway, people who can't handle roundabouts, Temple Athletics, Texas A&M football, and male cheerleaders, Geno Smith and Tyler Lockett, Bijan Robinson, one TD scorer, Jake Moody and the Niners, Jason Myers, Seahawks kicker, Dave Aranda, Jacksonville Jaguars organization, Corey Connors,
the entire organization.
Corey Connors, a golfer and a Canadian, multiple-time offender, Tyler Bass, Buffalo Bills in championship games, St. Mary's, Virginia basketball, Herb Jones, West Flagler Associates, Mitt Romney, Charlie Strong, Doosan Bears, Brian Hoyer, Al Golden, Manny Diaz, Mark D'Onofrio, Subway Subs, Matthew Pavon, Nitrogen Sportsbook, Ricky Fowler, parentheses, multiple time loser, and Denny McCarthy, son of a bitch.
What a list this is. Everybody who has wronged him in every situation.
Oh, my God. All right. Charge.
Can you confirm Canadian golfers?
Can I confirm them?
Yeah. Like, avoid Canadian golfers.
They are not the most draped in clutchness, I wouldn't say. You know, there have been good ones who have won. Mike Weir won the Masters. Believe he's the only Canadian to have won a major, but after he won the Masters, he just kind of fizzled.
Yeah.
Didn't do much. All right, I got this as a treat for you on the way out the door. You ready? This is an email from a listener. Let me get this here. I closed it out. Alternate Utah. In fact, you already know this. Eric Prime. Thank you, Eric. He says, Zabe, I just don't think you realize how important the Utah song is to all of us. It isn't just a song about a state. It's a song about the rebirth of Church as he begins a new life in a properly governed state. He said, I took the liberty of asking our mutual friend Grok if there were any alternate versions of that iconic banger. And guess what? You can bet your ass there are. See link below. Yes. So I give you the alternate version. There's multiple ones I've pulled from audio. This is the blues version of it.
Gotta be better. It's already better.
Can you hear this right now? Charge, can you hear this?
Yeah, baby. It's so much better.
Ooh, Utah. What a great place to be.
Sure is.
Blessed from heaven above. It's the land that we love. This is the place.
This is the place.
Let's hear it for AI, baby. The AI version is a blues version. It was way better. 10 times better.
Do you think AI made this?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, really? How do you know?
Well, first, because you said there are multiple different genres, right? So you can just feed the lyrics into a couple of different song programs, AI programs, and say, okay, I want a blues version. I want a rockabilly version. I want a Jan and Dean version. And we'll just do it.
You know, what's funny is that I believe the words are this is the place and then Utah. This song puts the emphasis, the landing note on this is the place, which I don't hate as an interpretation, but it's a lot different than the original version, right?
That's because the AI doesn't know the original version. Somebody, our emailer, Eric, just pasted the lyrics in. So it doesn't have a basis for knowing the original.
Okay, let me stop it right there. I believe it should have right after that a little subtle follow-on of Utah. By the way, Zabe Vegas is coming up. Church is super excited. I'm excited. If you want more information on how to join us, come on. Just email me at zabe@yahoo.com. I'll send you the relevant information. And I'm just so glad that you're going to meet some other friends of mine. Also, yeah. Tim Murray, our friend from VEASAN. Here you go. Right here. Utah. It's like the Utah belongs sooner there. This is the place. Yeah. Resolve. Utah is right there. Should be right there. Hey, why don't you make your own song, El Baldo? You can't even sing. Okay, fine.
Well, right. Again, it doesn't have the original as a reference point because it's AI.
It does say Utah, but it waits for the next chorus to resolve. This is the place. Utah. Don't you think it belongs right there? Okay.
It does. And you could, you know, with enough effort, you could make that happen with the AI as well. But
much like playing Texas Hold'em, I'm putting no effort into either Texas Hold'em or rewriting this cheesy song yet another time. Charge is always a joy and a pleasure. Thank you, my friend. We will talk to you next week.
Talk to you in a week. Bye-bye.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.